This talk is about militarization of French police and resistance history. This is a cooperation between Datenspon and Libertäre Tage. If you would like to spend some money that this talks, so this international talks can be held, you can may spend some money there in the front of the desk.
Okay, thank you. Okay, hello. I will speak in English because I could try to speak in German, but would not be very successful. So I will speak in English, if it's fine for you. And so my name is Jan, and I'm part of a collective that was founded in 2012, and it's called Désarmolé. It means let's disarm them, somehow it's the translation. And we are struggling since 10 years now against police brutality. And in this presentation, the idea was like to present how this the police is working in France, and how the state is protecting the police, and how the police is protecting the state. But I decided to make it in a way that you will have a historical approach, because I think to understand what's happening now, to understand the context, the current context, we need to go back in the history a bit to understand how the French police is working. So I try to make it as fast as I can, and as the most understandable I can. And you will see during this presentation, I try to put also in the last 20 years, the moments, like the big moments of our collective, how we were founded, why we appeared, what we did, and why we did the things in this moment. It's all related. We are in many cases reacting to situation and reacting to police brutality cases. So I try to make a short history of the police, of the state police, and then I put inside like some inputs about our collective. And the idea of this presentation is to explain how the violence is systemic and how we came to this point we are now. So it's called Militarization of the Police, of the French Police's Resistance. So it's not the same title as you have in the program, but it's the same thing. And I will begin like very shortly with the old history. Don't be afraid, I will try not to be like boring. And if I'm boring, you can shout and say stop it, I'll go faster. So just to know, like to understand, from the police is not some, it's not so old institution. It was created in 19th century, and it was the idea that before, like they were not police before the 19th century. They were just what we call gendarmes. It's part of the army. It's mainly the army was making law enforcement in this period. So this is the beginning of the 19th century. We had the gendarmes only, and it was like current situation that just the military, the soldiers, they are just shooting on the crowd. It was something very, like this was the way of making law enforcement in this period. And we had a lot of cases of uprising and strikes where the military, the soldiers were just shooting on the crowd. And this was quite common with this idea in this period that is still today going on, that the working class is a dangerous class. Like this is the idea that founded the police, and that's why with each uprising that happened in the 19th century, the state reacted by implementing new means of policing and new means of maintaining law enforcement, maintaining the law. So they created different services. So the first policemen, they looked like this. This is the first police we had in the French system. They were called agent de police, and then gardien de la paix. It's like the guardian of peace. A peacekeeper, I don't know, you can call it as you want. It's like really the beginning of the public order as we understand it today. Like it was something not belonging to the military, to the army, but in this period they were beginning to obey to what we call the préfet police. It's like the police department, the chief of the police department, sorry. It's like we call it the préfet, he has a big role, as I will explain it later. And then from the end of the 19th century, the police began to be implemented in the more modern way. And this is the moment when this person you see here with the bird, he was one of the first préfet police from Paris, and he implemented a lot of new brigade, a lot of new means. For example, he was the first to implement, like to give a stick to the police. So the police were beginning to use a stick first to show the road, but step by step they were beginning to use this stick to beat people who are not respecting the law, and this is how it began, like the stick were used in the beginning. He implemented also first team on bicycles and many things like this, and he's also under his responsibility were created the first judiciary police, criminal police, who are beginning to make photos and to make files about people, so-called criminals. So it's really the beginning of the modern police was in the end of the 19th century. It was also in this period many of these new means of policing society were implemented to react to the violence of anarchists, and this is why they implemented also new law specifically to repress anarchist movement and leftist movement who were just beginning to be active in this period, as you know probably. And this is where this is the moment they invented a new crime that is called association malfaiteur. It's like the equivalent is conspiracy in English. And we had to wait, so I make a jump in the time, we had to wait until 1930. They decided, just after the war, they decided to implement a new kind of policing, more mobile, and they implemented also this new force called Garde Mobile, who were the first force specifically for law enforcement on horses, and they were not directly, so they were obeying to the Minister of Army, but they were separated from the army, and they have a different way to be involved in law enforcement. They were not living next to the people. And this was the big thing after the First World War. It was not acceptable anymore that the military police were making law enforcement in the same region they were living, because there were a big sympathy for the soldiers after the First World War. It was not acceptable for them that the cops, like the, sorry, that the soldiers like repress their own people, their own families and friends they are living next door. So they implemented new forces that are turning, and they go in different region, and they make law enforcement in other region than the region where they were living. So here you have some picture of this period when they implemented this gendarme mobile, this garde mobile on horses. And this is also really the period in the 30s where they implemented the first doctrine, like they implemented the first dogma and explained in official text how this law enforcement should work and which principle it should respect to make law enforcement. And this is because just before, so you had like here down in 34, you had big riots in Paris, but riots by far-right groups. And there were a lot of injuries among the police and among the protesters. So they decided to implement a new way of making law enforcement that avoid as much as they can to avoid injuries from the both sides. So one of the big principles of this new doctrine is to keep distance from the crowd. And also it's the beginning of the gas. It's in this period especially that the first tear gas was used, first in America, because it was implemented in Philadelphia for the first time. They made tests. Even you had some cops who were like used to test the tear gas. So they were in the training center, they were throwing on them gas, and they had like as how they studied the use of tear gas. And then it came to France, where it was used and trained since almost 20 years by the police department of Paris, and it was tested during the First World War in the trenches, in the war. So the success of the use of gas was also then after the war used and implemented in the civil context for law enforcement. So it's really the moment the doctrine was born, and this is the first instruction how law enforcement should be implemented. Then we come to the Second World War, where was born the National Police. So the police we know now in France was implemented by the fascist regime, the Vichy regime in 41. And the first police force for law enforcement, different from the army one, so the one I described just before was still belonging to the army, and they are the actual gendarmes, they still exist, but they created a new force, like the Vichy regime, like the Maréchal Pétain. He implemented a new force that is specifically a police force for law enforcement. And you can see here many examples where you see how the police were really involved in helping the Nazi in repressing the people and arresting Jews and deporting Jews. Here you have some example of deportation moments. Here is the first, this is the first riot control police that was implemented in 41. And this is the main, he is the chief of the police in France, of the national police, of the first national police. And he was directly involved and working with the Nazi regime. And also they were guarding the camps, and they were, of course, also making the Nazi sign when they were beginning their new job. So this is how the French police was born. And at the end of the war in 45, they decided to dissolve this, to disband this specific team, but they just replaced it. So they took the same guys and they put them in the new force called Les CRS, is the one we have now. Then we can jump to the colonial periods. It's very important, and it's very, very, very important to understand how the police is, the mentality of the modern police in France, to understand that we have a really big colonial history, and that we didn't face it until now, this colonial history, and that many of the methods that are used in the next 50 years after the war come directly from some experiences that were implemented during the colonial time in the colonies. And here you have some example. When in 57 you have here the riot control police who is like repressing a protest in 57, but it's not the first time, of course. In 45, when the Algerians wanted to celebrate the end of the war, they were forbidden to carry the Algerian flag, and some protesters, they were carrying anyway the flag, and they were severely repressed, and it led to a thousand of death, because just after there were riots, and the settlers, they were also attacking the Algerians, and you had like almost 27 deaths. And this is something, it's not very known, but the victory of 45 was celebrated in Algeria by a big mass murder. And the police was actively involved in this mass murder in Algeria in 45. And in the years after, until Algeria got independence, you had several cases of very harsh repression against Algerian freedom movement, and also not only in Algeria but also in France, because many Algerian immigrants who were living in Paris were still involved in independence struggle, and they were severely repressed. So you have here some example. The most known one is in 61. In 61, in 17th of November, 61 in France, thousands of Algerians wanted to to protest against the curfew. They had an obligation of curfew. They could not go out after 6 o'clock in the evening. So they wanted to protest this curfew, and they went peacefully to the center of Paris, and they were awaited by hundreds of cops, and they were attacked. And the whole night, they were like beaten up, shooted at, and there were more than 200 people were died this night and the days after, and were thrown into the river, and all this under the orders of the chief of police department, who is this guy on the right. He's Maurice Papon, and he's very known because he was active during the Second World War, helping the Nazi. He was working for the Nazi. He was arresting a lot of resistant people of freedom fighters, and he was, after the war, he stayed in charge, and he was, during 7 years, he was the chief of the police department of Paris. And in this period, and his period, he was repressing a lot, and he is responsible for these 200 deaths in 61. And there are other cases. We have no picture about this case in 67. It was happening in Guadeloupe. In Guadeloupe, you had the big strike in 67, just before 68. There were a big strike, like in 68 in France. It was in Guadeloupe before. And the chief of the police department of the Guadeloupe gave the order to open fire, and they killed more than 80 people in Guadeloupe. So this is the last examples when in France the police were openly shooting on crowds. So it's the last example of, let's say, mass murders by the police in the last 60 years. After you have the episode of 68, so everyone knows what happened in 68. You had the huge strikes and you had huge protests and riots and whatever. It happened not so long, it was like 2 months, but during this period were very important for the French police because they tested a lot of things, and as they also realized how weak they were in front of riots, you can see like they had very old materials. They have like fences in front of the face. They were using old cars to throw water on the crowd, and they just realized that they have to modernize the police, and 68 was a huge moment for them to just modernize, to change the riot control means. You see they have old grenades that they shoot with old guns. That was not working very well. Anyway, I will come back after about how this police changed, and it took like several years, 2 decades to be honest. And during this period, we had a lot of example about how the technique, the tactics that were used during the Algerian War and during the colonization period, were implemented into the police. Some example: after 68. You have the Minister of Internal Affairs. He decided to implement a new teams on motorcycles. So they are the first teams using motorcycles to make crowd control. So you will see every time the law enforcement is modernized, one idea is always remaining, is the idea of that the police should be mobile, should be able to go, to be more mobile inside the crowd, to enter the crowd, to arrest people inside the crowd, instead of the old doctrine that just said we keep distance. You remember I told you in the 30s they implemented this doctrine that said we should keep distance because it's too dangerous for the both sides if we go to contact. And this old principle is abandoned years after years, and they implement new teams of police, like this motorcycle team, who will just hunt the crowd and go after the crowd and beat and arrest people in the middle of the crowd. So this is a new technique. And also in 71, they implement the first undercover police in France, the first anti-criminality team. And this is based on the concept of this guy on the top, who invented the concept of anti-criminality. And this is, he was the first préfet police, like the first chief of police department of the department of Seine-Saint-Denis. I don't know if you know the French context, but Seine-Saint-Denis is like known as the most dangerous department in France because it's the department where you have the biggest amount of immigrants. It's in the north of Paris, and it's like this place is called no-go zone until now. And he was the first chief of police department of this this region, this district. And he implemented he tested his new concept of anti-criminality, implementing a new cops. It's just cops without uniform, just hunting the youth from immigration, with immigration background, and especially these techniques, they are neo-colonial also because they come from these techniques that were implemented in Algeria. And these people, you have to understand that in this period, 60s, 70s, 80s, you have a lot of responsible of the police, of the French state, who were nostalgic of French Algeria, who are having duties in the colony time, in the time of colonization. And they were also, they had some responsibilities inside the police during the time of colonization. And after the end, after the independence of Algeria, they were brought back to the French context, and they could implement a lot of techniques that they learned in Algeria. And this is why this, for example, this Bolot, this guy with the glasses who implemented this anti-criminality concept, he was the chief of police department in Guadeloupe, and he gave the order to shoot on the strikers in May 1967. So he's responsible for this mass murder in Guadeloupe. And when he came to Paris, he implemented this. And also, it's the first time they implemented, after 68, they decided that the crowd control should be more trained, that they the French police should be the professional at the top of this crowd control knowledge. So they implemented a training center in Saint-Astier. It's basically this place where they train until now to make riot control, and they have a fake city. So it's like a cinema, it's like a cinema city. It's a fake city where they train and they bring also cops from the whole world to be witness and to learn with the French police how to repress crowds. And you have all the police of the world until now who come regularly to have some training and to understand how the French police is working good, has a good knowledge in this. And this is very interesting how 68 really changed the modern the police. And then you have all this period that we had in the whole world when the French police were confronted to the new left, and there were a lot of movement, especially in the 70s, you had a huge anti-nuclear movement, anti-atomkraft movement, and it was also a moment where there were very tense protests in France against nuclear energy. And as you see in the pictures, in this period, they used some tanks. You can see here on this picture, you can see a tank. And they were using, the gendarmes were using tanks against the protesters, so it was a very tense period. And they were also using these grenades that are military grenades, that are, they are 70 grams of TNT, so it's explosive. And they were like, and Vital Michelon is one of the victims, of the known victim of this grenade. He died because he was killed by this grenade in 77. So all this period is also a period of a very tense terrorist attack. So in our collective, we decide not to use the term of terrorism because we consider that it's not a term that defines nothing. It's not understandable what you mean when you speak about terrorism. So we consider that it's armed struggles. Even if the fighters, they are Islamist or they are leftist, they are independentist, they are far-right fighters, they are anyway armed fighters. So it's armed struggle using violence to express ideas, and they were organizing terrorist attacks. So terrorist attacks, it means like bombing and armed attacks. And in the 80s, we had a huge period of a lot of attacks, actually. And from all the sides, I mean, you had fascist groups who were making attacks. You had Palestinian group, you had Armenian group, you had Shia, Muslim Shia. You had Muslim Sunni groups making attacks. You had the Basque independence movement, you had the Corsica independence movement. You had like many groups using violence in politics. So this was also a big moment in the 80s. It was at this period we had this socialist government. And so they were confronted to the new left, then they were confronted to like the armed struggle fights, and they were also confronted in the 80s to a big movement from the suburbs. So this is really the first time the suburbs were uprising in a big scale in the 80s, because they were protesting against a big wave of racist crimes. We had a lot in the 80s, 90s, you had a huge wave of racist crimes by the police, by random people, random fascists, and they were killing a lot of people from immigration, with immigration backgrounds. So the suburbs decided to organize a response, and they organized first a huge protest for equality and against racism, and they were also, it began all with big riots in the region of Lyon and in also other suburbs. So this is also the moment when the suburbs, they organize themselves as collectives to resist police brutality and to support the families of victims, because of course some people were killed by the police with racist motivation. So you had the first big collective, Mouvement Immigration et Banlieues, the movement for immigration and suburbs, who was created in this end of the 90s to resist police brutality. So how the state reacted in this period, with this 80s period, they decided to implement new forces. It's really the period when they invented all this anti-gang concept. So it's a mix between anti-criminality and counter-revolution principles, like from the Algerian War. And they implemented these new forces that were implemented the same time after, from 68 to the 90s. For, to the 80s, you had the SWAT, for example, in America, were born in the same period. And all the polices, and in France, they implemented these teams, like the RAID and le GIGN, who are two groups who are supposed to fight against big criminality, terrorism, gangs, and so on. And the idea of the politicians in this period were they used this, like the Minister of Interior in this period, he used this sentence that we have to terrorize the terrorists. And again, we don't know who they speak about when they say terrorists. It's very important because later you will understand that we are the terrorists also, so we are also in this category and we deserve to be repressed by this kind of teams. So it's the first time we have like police who are like wearing masks to hide themselves, to be protected, to be anonymous. And they're also using, as you see on this picture, the first kind of guns, rubber bullets, so less lethal guns. It was never used before, just the gas, the tear gas. And now they use, they have these weapons. And in this period, it was only for the anti-gang, only for anti-terrorism. And also, this is the beginning of militarization of the police. And also, it's fitting with the period of liberalization, it means of the economy after the 70s. You know that the neoliberalism just like really had this his best period. I don't know how to say this. And so new manufacturers, new producers of guns arrived on the market to sell guns. So you had a modernization in this period, a huge modernization of all the weapons. So here on the top, you see the grenades as they were used in the 50s, in the 60s. And from the 70s, 80s, they began to use plastic grenades. And they use also, they modernized this grenade that is quite the same, but they make it, they changed it, they make it more efficient, they put more different like explosive inside. I mean, they worked a lot on changing the weapons for the police to make them more effective. And here you have, for example, these new companies who arrived on the market in the 70s, 80s, and today this Alcatex that was not existing before the 70s, this Alcatex has the monopolies of is selling mainly the most of the guns to the big, had the, I don't know how to say this. This company is the one who is giving the most, is selling the most, the biggest amount of guns to the police forces. Sorry, I tried to. So it's like all this concept of less lethality, of guns that are not killing, or they are killing less, or this concept was taken from Great Britain first, because Great Britain was the Commonwealth, like the British government was the first to use these guns, and mainly in colonies. For example, in Ireland, in Bangladesh, in Hong Kong, they were using all these guns, and they were making a lot of injuries in Ireland. For example, there were a huge campaign in Northern Ireland to protest against the killing of children, because the police forces, the British police forces, were shooting a lot of wooden bullets, rubber bullets, plastic bullets, and they were killing 7 to 12 children in the streets during the riots. So this is the first source of inspiration. You can see like the socialist president having a talk with Margaret Thatcher, who was the prime minister of Great Britain in this period. And then the second source of inspiration in the more in the 90s were America, like the United States of America, when especially in one moment that is known in the international counter-summit movements. It was the first big and very mediatic counter-summit in Seattle in 1999, where actually the police forces were using mainly all the less lethal weapons you can imagine. So here, for example, you have this gas, you have the big sticks. On the top, you have this machine gun with shooting 4 to 6 gas grenades. On the top, you have this airsoft guns who are shooting or tear gas or small rubber balls. And I mean, they were using all the means that were not at this period existing in the French police. So after this period, you had a big influence and big exchange between the police schools and the police officers from America, from England, from South America, from France. And this is the period when Sarkozy, he was still young, he had no much responsibilities. He was working with the Minister of Interior, Charles Pasqua, who is known to be a nostalgic of French Algeria, and he was involved in many fascist groups, organizing some undercover fascist groups who were working for the states in this period. And he was Minister of Interior, and Sarkozy, he was really influenced by this guy. And they were both like having, you see this guy, now I don't remember his name, but the guy who is next to the mayor of New York in 2001, when the attack happened in New York, like the police department had a lot of exchanges with other police. And this guy who is standing next to the mayor, he's the main advisor for security in New York. And he implemented new methods for the policing of New York. And he inspired a lot the cops all over the world, and especially the French police. So we arrived to the actual period when Jacques Chirac was president and Sarkozy was Minister of Interior. So I put every time, you will see, I will just, the next 20 years, you will see the different mandates of the presidents. And you will see always the number of deaths of people killed by the police on the photo. So in this period, in the period when Sarkozy was Minister of Interior and then president, this whole period from 2002 to 2012, the rate was almost 80, the rate was 70 people killed every year. So this is the rate in this period of people killed by the police. Oh, shit. So he was the first, this Sarkozy was the first to implement rubber bullets. So they implemented the new flashball. This is this pistol that was, you can see it used like this. So it's a pistol that they hold like this. There is no, they cannot like put it on the shoulder. They are shooting like a pistol, and it's shooting like round balls like this and rubber. And also Sarkozy, he implemented, Pasqua and Sarkozy, the both, They generalized this undercover police, this anti-criminality team, the one that were invented and implemented only in one department in 71. From 94 to 96, they were implemented on the whole territory of France. So you have new brigades of anti-criminality teams that were implemented everywhere. And in this first period, it's like they tried to use them during crowd control and law enforcement. So you have some rare pictures where they are involved in crowd control. So they are in front of a protest here. And you can see them undercover, like we are used in this period to see them everywhere on the cover. So they look like this and they look like this next to the protests. So this is something that Sarkozy brought to the country. And in 2005, he came to the suburbs, he had a plan of communication, he wanted to show to his electors that he will guarantee security because the people are afraid, they are scared in this country, and this country is unsafe, so he wanted to propose to guarantee that he will bring security. So he went to the suburbs in the night, it's a surprise visit, and he just provoked the people. And especially he said the sentence that we have here in French, and he said to someone on the window in front of all the journalists, "Do you want us to get you rid of these thugs?" he used the term of thugs to speak about the youth from the suburb. And this is how he created a huge outrage in this period, because it was the first time that someone who has this kind of responsibility is openly qualifying the youth as thugs. And this is this led in the next day, it's really the next day, the police killed these two guys. They were, so they not directly killed them, but they were, they wanted to control them. The guys tried to escape, to run away. They chased them, and they chased them to an electric center. I don't know how you say this, a power plant. And these two guys, they jumped inside the power plant, and they died electrified inside. So after their death, you had this big riots end of 2005, when the suburbs just exploded for weeks. I think it was between 3 and 6 weeks, and there were riots in the whole territory. And it's the first time that the state of emergency was implemented in the on the French territory. I mean, not in the colonies or in the former colonies. So they used the, you can see here, cops like that are targeting the flats with this flashbulb. And he implemented this first sting ball grenade, that is a grenade that is just spreading plastic plots like this one. It's like a plot like this, and it's spreaded with 400 kilometers per hour. And so he implemented this grenade to give it to this anti-criminality team so they can be more effective during riots, because this was a demand from the cops to have guns, to have means that are more effective to repress riots. And in 2007, two other guys was killed by the police, were killed by the police. They were on a motorcycle, and they were punched by the police with a car, and they died. So it led to a new wave of riots that were smaller, but it was also huge crowd, huge riots, and some people, some cops were injured with the gunfire, with the live bullets. So they made a huge case with this, and they sent to prison three people for more than 15 years for attempt of murder against police. And in the same period, they implemented this new rubber bullet gun that was asked by the police, because the police were not satisfied by this old flashbulb that were not precise, they were not shooting far. I mean, from here, like the cops could not shoot more than 20 meters. So it means between me and the people here on the seats behind. So for them, it was not enough. They wanted a gun that can shoot to the door, like almost 50 meters. So this is why the government decided to implement this new rubber bullet gun that is much more effective, that can shoot to 50 meters, and with also a speed of 300 kilometer by per hour. And Pierre, he's part of our collective, he's a friend of us. He was the first person to lose an eye because of this weapon in 2007. And he wrote a book called We Are at War. So then we have all this period in 2007 when other families of victims, they began to join the fight, to create collectives together and to make networks where they gather several families. So this Stolen Lives Collective, for example, is one of the first who was implemented from 2007-2011, and that were gathering several families of people killed by the police. So she is the person, she is the sister of Lamine Dieng, who was killed in June 2007 by the police in Paris, and she implemented, she has a huge role. I mean, everyone is knowing Assa Traoré, but less people know Ramata Dieng, who is very important for the struggle of families, and she implemented this first collective of victims. We are still in the period, the Sarkozy period, and Sarkozy, he also decided that these old forces, here you see the CRS that were created in 1945, and here you see this Garde Mobile, who are the one that was created in the 30s. Of course, they are not anymore on horses, but it's the same force. There are these two traditional riot control forces in France.
he's carrying this grenade launcher. And Sarkozy, he decided to implement a new companies, a new force that is called Compagnie d'Intervention, intervention companies, that are looking, you can see the difference, they have blue lines on the helmet, while the other one, they have yellow lines on the helmet. What's the difference? These cops, they are more mobile again. They have a bigger autonomy. They can run into the crowd, hold someone, take someone and get out. The other teams, they don't do this. They hold lines, they go all together, they go back. They are making traditional crowd control. And these are not making crowd control. They are making judiciary repression. They are there to arrest people and to injure people. And this is why they have all, they are the first in crowd control to use these guns, this rubber bullet guns, to injure people. I will pass this, it's a bit complex, it's all in French, but the doctrine was, it's just to understand that this doctrine was changing all the time, and especially during Sarkozy period, he changed this in a way that these new weapons, first you had this principle of graduated response. It means the protesters are peaceful, we try to negotiate or to push them. If they use stones, we'll shoot tear gas. If they are using cocktail Molotov, we will use grenade, like with TNT. And the last stage is using a personal, like the gun, only if they have to defend their lives. So this is, in law enforcement, you have this only these three first stage where they are supposed to use first the shields to push, then the sticks, then the gas, then the grenade with TNT. This is the principle. So they are always, they are supposed to make the balance. And now with these new weapons coming in law enforcement, they change the whole thing because these weapons, they are not fitting inside this framework because they are weapons of self-defense, actually. They are this lanceur de balles de défense, this rubber bullet gun is called lanceur de balles de défense. It means it's defense bullet launcher. And this grenade de désencerclement, this other sting ball grenade with this small plastic plots, grenade de désencerclement, it's a grenade that is supposed to be used when they are stuck, when they are in the crowd, when the crowd is threatening a group of cops and they cannot get out. And they are supposed to use this grenade to break the crowd and go away. This is the principle of these weapons. And they were implemented in law enforcement in a total different approach. From the beginning, they were used as offensive guns. So now they are here inside, and they are breaking the whole judiciary framework. And so when I say all this, you don't think that I'm nostalgic of the old way of repressing people, huh? It's just, I want to make clear, it's just how it's explaining how we are now stuck into things where it's impossible to fight back against these weapons in court on the ground. So here they just added a new level of intervention that is using these specific weapons. Okay, so now we arrive to the last period. We arrived, we created the collective in this period at the end of Sarkozy's time, and we began with cop watching. So it was a way to survey, to monitor the police, and we made a website where we're denouncing the police, we're putting the photos of the cops in the web. It was something new, and the police unions, here you can see the communique of the police unions, they were very angry against us. They could not identify us because we were not publicly saying that we are making cop watching, and we were using hidden cameras to show like the violence, so, and that they didn't see us as witnesses. So the cops, they were very angry, and they asked to the Minister of Interior to react, and this is how the Minister of Interior, he filed a claim against us in the court to find us and to stop the website. And it was a very funny period, I tell you this, because it's very interesting to see how they were not used to this kind of websites and this kind of internet security things. So first, they asked to the providers to cut, so they made this censorship like you can find in China. They were just making the website inaccessible from France. So if you connected with Tor or the VPN or from abroad, from Germany, for example, you could see our website. But French people in France, they could not, like in simple, if they don't use proxy or. So they went to court to get this decision. So the website was cut once. We opened a new one with a new IP address, and they went back to the court. And so we had this game during 2 years where they went back to the court. And finally, they cut it for the third time. And at the end, we were a bit fed up, and we had also our conflict inside. So we stopped and we did something else. And here, just to always, I try to explain you how this police union also, they are reacting. They are always reacting in a very aggressive way and very with a very heavy way of communicating. And this is one, they made a protest against Copwatch. So they were gathering in Paris with t-shirts, and you can see how fine and intelligent they are. So here you see a cop who is like fucking us, basically. And they call this movement Zobwatch. Zob means penis. Like, you see how, and this was official protest from the police union in the streets, and they have had all these t-shirts in the streets. You can imagine how smart they are. So we arrive in the period of François Hollande, so we have a new socialist government, so everyone is thinking that we will breathe and finish the right-wing government. And as you see, during his mandate, we passed to 22 people killed by a year, so from 17 to 22. And this was the big period of, maybe you know, you heard about Notre-Dame-des-Landes, that is a struggle against the airport in Western France, that was a huge struggle involving a lot of people in the whole country, and we had big riots also in 2012 when they tried to evict this area because you had 200 people living there and building cabins in the forest and occupying and making political action, protest and whatever, and building a huge network in France of resistance against big projects and ecological struggles. So they tried to evict this area. They send a lot of cops and they failed, actually. They failed, but what was very hard for us is that they used so much force that you had a lot of injured people. And it was not so often that we had such an amount of injured people in just one day. So they went into the forest, we were trying to destroy them somehow. I think it was, they were under huge pressure also, but they used a lot of grenades and there were a lot of people injured. And you have other struggles that happened in the same period during this Hollande government mandate. You have anti-nuclear struggle, here it's a struggle against the dam. Here it's against nuclear waste. I mean, it's all these struggles. Some of them, they are still going on, like in Bure and in Bure, but all this period was very tense. And this is the moment also we saw a switch in the way the politicians, they are speaking about us. There are, for example, the Minister of Interior, who is called Manuel Valls. He said this sentence, he said, no way we will let this cyst, you know what's the cyst? Like this cancer organize itself. So he began to say that we should be destroyed like a cancer. And this is when we began really our collective called Désarmons-les. This is the moment we built our collective, because in one of these fights, there were resistance. This is the picture on the top. In one of these fights, they used so much grenades with TNT that they injured very severely people we knew, like our friends. Some of them then never went back to protest because they had just the body full of pieces of metal, pieces of plastic. They were just injured for whole life, and we were really shocked. And we decided, but what is this? What are this weapon actually? Because we had no any information about this weapon. So this is why we decided this was the motivation for us to create this collective and to work on weapon. This is how we began the work. So here I have some quotes, but it's not really important. And we began with some leaflets. We made leaflets about, especially about weapons. So in 2013, after we updated it in 2015, 2016, 2019, 2021, 2022, we renewed this leaflet because just they have always new guns. And so our work were mainly to inform our comrades first about what are these weapons and how to protect ourselves. And our slogan were knowing them better to protect ourselves better. So we made some presentation, we made a huge monitoring about the weapons. We are trying to find out how we can get this information because everything is secret. The companies, they don't communicate about these weapons. The government is not communicating about these weapons. So we had to find the information by ourselves. So we made huge work until now to find out where they buy these guns, what are these guns, how they work, how we can protect ourselves from them. So we made some presentation about them. Here you see like many weapons we found on the ground. Some of them they didn't explode, or some of them they were brought by some comrades who could take it from the pockets of the cops. So we could have like studied them somehow. And in 2013, we get closer, of course, to the families of victims. And this is 1 year after we founded this collective, we got close to the families. And am I speaking too loud or too stressful, maybe? Because I'm very fast, I try to. So in 2013, we got close to families of victims because, of course, if you fight against police brutality, you cannot just focus on protest, comrades, anarchist comrades being injured by police. Very fast, you get close to people who are injured in the suburbs and injured or killed in the suburbs. So we got close to this collective first, Urgence Not Police Assassin, that was founded by Amal Bensoussi, whose brother was killed in the back by a police shot in 2012 in April, and she gathered other families. So it's the second network of families. Before you had Stolen Lives, Vivolé, and now we have Urgence Not Police Assassin, gathering five families. The previous one was gathering something like 10 families, I think. So it was small collectives, but it was something new that these collectives in this period, they were really trying to make something together, these families. So they organized every year the international protest against police brutality that is on 15th of March. So if you don't organize them in Germany, you should. It's like an international call that came in the 90s from Montreal and in Quebec. And every year we organize with the families a protest in first was mainly in Paris, but now you have it sometimes in other big cities. So we decided to help the families also in this struggle. And this is also the moment we began to work in court. This is the moment we're not prepared to this, but somehow when you come to help the families, you have to understand the law. You have to get in contact with lawyers who are respecting the families. So we began the whole work to make contacts with the families and with the lawyers and to try to help them in court, which is from an anarchist point of view not always easy to have involved in a fight that going to court and having any expectation from the court. So we began like this, and this is some cases. I just put them, it's not very understandable, but this is, for example, five cases where our collectives, we were going to court to witness, but not witness of what happened, witness of the systemic aspect of police brutality. And this was something interesting we still do. The last time it was in 2023, this year, where actually on all these cases I went to this because it's like I'm the public speaker of this collective. So we went to court, I went to court to bring to the court some kind of expertise, independent expertise about police brutality and about weapons. And instead of the official experts who are like working with the state mainly. We began to make some campaigns against weapons, against grenades, against some specific police team, against this technique that they use. They have three techniques they use to arrest people. It's like the one who killed George Floyd, you know, this one with the knee on the neck. This is one, plaquage ventral. There is this one. This is very common. They arrest a lot of people like this. They just strangle you. to make you stop moving. And they have a third technique that they use mainly in the car. When they arrest you, put you in the car, they handcuff you from behind, and they put you like this, and they push on your back. And this killed several people because you cannot breathe anymore, and you just die by étouffement. I don't know how we say this in English. You cannot breathe anymore. So these three techniques, we made this a campaign with the family of victims against these techniques to make them to forbid them, and of course against all the weapons used by the police. We made conferences, as I do now, so I just put some posters, some moments. Since 2013 and more since 2015, 16, we try to make as much as we can. I mean, when we are invited, we just go if we can to speak about this, and so it's part of our job. Back to the general history, in 2014, during this fight against Adam, I remember I told you there are many fights, ecological fight. During one fight against the dam, the gendarmes, so the military police, were using this old grenade and were killing Rémi Fraisse. You see on this photo, he just got the whole back explode by a grenade and he died really immediately. And the next day we made a huge protest, We made protests wherever we could in different cities. And in Paris we organized, we took the responsibility to organize a protest where we called everyone to come with helmets. So we gathered some 300 people in front of the town hall in Paris, and we were all arrested. We were all arrested, and some of us, like me, I was prosecuted for violence, organized violence. And so this is one thing we tried to react, and it's immediately after, we decided to make our network, like the families of victims killed by the police, they have their own networks. We decided to implement a network with other collectives from people who are injured by the police, who lost eyes mainly. So we gathered several collectives and also people who were from different background, actually, who lost an eye. We had some football supporters, soccer supporters. We had some guys from the suburbs, and also like protesters. We had really different people from different background who were injured in different background, not only in protest. And we gathered this network of 15 people injured by the police, and we began also to work to work together with other collectives against weapons. So we made actions, but I will not describe, we tried to make actions. And we also make advocacy, and we decided to make something that is not usual for anarchist collectives. We decided to go with the victims to some different legal claims also. So we went to the, so I didn't go, but like the injured people, this collective of injured people, they went to her after the death of Rémi Fraisse, who was killed by the grenade. The government made a full parliamentary investigation. So they prepared a huge investigation on several months, and they were interviewing mainly cops, like police officers. So the injured, they said, how can you make an investigation about law enforcement and police brutality asking only to the cops? So we are all injured, we want to talk to this commission. So they went to the commission. Of course, it didn't lead nowhere. I mean, they took some weird decision. Even the responsible for this commission, who was a deputy, he said, I don't recognize the work of this commission. He get out of this commission because he said he was a leftist guy from the Green Party, and he was like collaborating with a very ugly campaign to reinforce the police, actually. So we went to different organisms, like the Ombudsman, it's called the Défenseur des Droits. We brought some cases in different situations. We just brought many cases of injuries we were speaking with the media also. We decided that we speak to journalists, just not only to TV, but only like media. And then came the state of emergency. 2015, you know probably that Islamist fighters. They attacked this Charlie Hebdo magazine. I put this magazine. We are totally disagreeing with this magazine. Just to make it clear, we were, and we decided not to be Charlie, because everyone was saying, I'm Charlie. We were not Charlie, because this newspaper is racist, this newspaper is Islamophobic. It doesn't explain and justify nothing that happened to them, of course, but it's just to make it clear. So, and also it changed also a lot of our lives in this specific period of 2015 with the attack of Charlie Hebdo, the attack of the Bataclan. The next days, the state implemented the state of emergency, and this gave them the possibility to put under house arrest 800 people, to search 4,000 houses, and to send a protest ban to a lot of activists. During the year just after, because we had a huge social movement in the month just after the attacks against the law reform. I'll show it after. So this is the home search, for example. I put a picture, like how you can imagine how you feel when you have this in front of your door in the morning. And actually why this was concerning us, because we are two of our collective, including myself, that were put on the house arrest also. So you had something like 780 Muslims, and you had like 25 anarchists. So we were in the house arrest in this period, and they made this link between all the enemies of the state somehow. For me, it's like they made an act of communication saying, now we will repress the Muslims and suspect the Muslims, but we continue to consider that the anarchists, they are somehow also responsible for things. And this was a huge act of communication, and it was the first time we had to face this kind of things. And I can tell you, I mean, I made presentation also about during the state of emergency, that being targeted by the house arrest is something very specific. And I mean, it's changed a lot the way we spoke about police violence. So yeah, this is me holding the paper that says you have to stay home, you have to go to police station 3 times a day, and you cannot go out of your home in the night from 8 to 7 in the next morning. And so during all this period of the first month of the state of emergency, I could not leave my house and my city. And this is the moment when it stopped, because for us as activists, it was only on a short period during the COP21, you know, the summit for climate change in Paris. And the reason they put us also on the house arrest, it was that we, in the time of terrorism, in the time of state of emergency, the state cannot lose time and cannot be diverted by protest. And so they were fearing that we will disturb this summit for climate change. And so they explained that the anarchists and the leftists, they are somehow a threat for security in a period where the state has nothing, cannot lose time with us. And I just wrote this term just before. It's the period where they began to use the term, this vocabulary used by the far right, speaking about Islamo-gauchism, like the translation is Islamo-left. It's like all the left who is accomplice with Islamism. And this is also in their mentality, and in the mentality of the police today, it's quite common that the people, they consider that all the leftists, all the communists, all the anarchists, all the left is somehow accomplice with Islamists, because we are just struggling for rights of people and so on. So in this period, when we were on the house arrest, imagine they were calling us green jihadists. They were calling us also green Taliban. In the media, I mean, it looks funny, but it's really a moment where the whole lexical was changing in the public speeches. But for us, it changed also because we began to work. You saw now I put in the presentation, I speak about the colonial police, the colonial time. I speak also about the post-colonial time, because it was really a very, for us, very important moment where we met a lot of guys. Mainly, not only guys and girls who were just under house arrest, repressed because they are just Muslims. And this state of emergency is a law from 55. It's a law that was used the first time against Algerians. So it's again policing method that was implemented first in the colonies. 2016, we had the big social movements with a huge level of fights. They began to use this gun, you remember, in 1999 in Seattle. The American police was using it. The French decided to implement this gun, this grenade launcher in 2016. And Laurent, he lost his eye because of a sting ball grenade. He is now an active part of our collective since then. Of course, we burnt also a police car, but this is fair. And 2016 was this period where, because of the house arrest, in the next month I was banned from protests for a year until 2017. I could not go to Paris. I was banned from Paris during all this time. And in many weekends, the cops, they came to me to say, you cannot go to protest, you cannot go out of your home. So in this period, I decided to make a website because I felt not very good to go out. So we implemented social networks. We opened a Facebook account. We opened a Twitter account. And a YouTube channel, and we began to work about also listing all the injured people and the killed people. So on our website, you can find a list of victims, so you can count every year the victims. And also we began to list all the people who lost an eye or a hand because of police weapons. And so here you have part of them. Today we have, since 20 years, we have almost 25 years, we have around 70 people who lost eye because of these weapons. We published communique, we have a lot of communique, we annoy everyone with our statements. And in 2016, just after this, during the state of emergency, emerged also the Comité Adama, which is a new collective of victims, but is mainly for one family, but is making also having a different approach. So they are not linked with the other families so much, but they're also leading a part of the fight since 2016. 2017, a new network was born after the death of George Floyd, after the movement of George Floyd. I mean, 2017, they began this work, but they really officially created the network after the death of George Floyd. This is called the Réseau d'entraide Vérité Justice. And this is now, in this collective, you have 30 families of victims and several collectives of injured people. And this collective took over the organization of the march every year. We continue, this collective, they continue to organize protests. I'm sorry, it's very long. I hope it's not boring, but it's how we come to this actual period. You see, we're in 2017, so it's not so far. 2017 happened this thing. Actually, what happened, you remember Amal Bentounsi, who founded the collective Urgence Notre Police Assassine? Her brother was killed in the back by a cop. So this cop went to court, and he was sentenced. And the police unions, they were so upset that the cop was guilty. I mean, he killed in the back. It was very hard to defend him. Huh? But first he was discharged and then he was sentenced. And they were so angry that they made huge protests. And they were asking for a law that is guaranteeing some immunity, some protection to the cops who are opening fire, who are using their guns. So they prepared the law, they proposed the law, they pushed the law, and they made some huge protests end of 2016, and you see how they look like. They wear all this mask with like, and they were just going out in the streets in the night. They were using the official cars during protest, while it's forbidden. They cannot use the uniform and the cars from the job to make protests. They go out when they are not at work, they can protest. But in this period, they went to protest during their duty. And they made a huge, we were very afraid, actually. I remember I was really afraid. I was thinking, like, what will happen? Is it a coup or something? They will remove the government and they will put the cop as a, you know, we didn't know what happened. And so they put a big pressure for many reasons, not only this law, but also for more militarization, more means, more cars, more guns, more money, more everything. And they get everything they want. They get everything they want because it was the state of emergency period, and everything during this period were given to them because they were the heroes of the people. And so they implemented this law beginning of 2017, just before Macron was elected. They implemented this law that is just making a list of the situation in which the cops can just open the fire and be protected. So this law is just guaranteeing that they will not be prosecuted if they open fire in this situation. So you have five situations in which they can just open fire. And for example, one situation is when they try to search a car and the person who is driving is just moving the car or just not obeying to the not obeying to the orders, they can shoot. And they were considered to be in situation of self-defense. So it's basically a law that is changing the framework of self-defense. Macron, he came to power in 2017, just after this law was implemented. And you can see now that the death rate in his first mandate, it reached 32 people a year. So we come from 22 to 32. And after he came to power, he decided to destroy this big cancer of Notre-Dame-des-Landes. So they send a lot of army, they send a lot of grenades. You can see here just a small part of what they use. They use 10,000 grenades, and not only gas, tear gas grenades, because here you can see a lot of, you see all these yellow dots, yellow, 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 all these, they are these grenades with TNT inside. So they threw on us like hundreds of TNT grenades, and so you can see the effect of these grenades, like the war zone. It was really like a war zone, and many people were injured again. They used the tanks, as you see on the top. So they just evicted the zone in this period, and they also injured one person, Maxime, who got the hand blown off. And then happened the Yellow Vest movement. So just some months after began the Yellow Vest movement at the end of the year, and it was a huge movement that no one was expecting. We were very depressed since the last social movement, thinking like, what can we do to make a social movement? It's not working, no one is going to the street, and suddenly this happened. And we were just enjoying a lot this period because it was very tense, and you had really a lot of people involved in the whole France, in many cities, and occupying places, and burning things. And here you see one guy who is just a boxer, who boxed a cop. Of course, he went to prison. And it was very, like, very tense. Zineb Redouane, in the second week of the movement, she was killed in Marseille. She was just standing in the at her window, and she was watching outside. There were protests down in the street, and one cop, he just targeted her with a tear gas grenade, and she died because she got the grenade in the face. So she's a very symbolic victim of this period, because it's also the first time an old woman in her flat, in the fourth floor, got killed by the police. And there were like an investigation. The investigation is still going on, so there's nothing in this case. We don't know where it's going. Well, this is a bit complicated. It's just with all this movement and all the looting of the Champs-Élysées and the burning of restaurants and the burning of prefecture. I mean, it was very huge. They decided to renew the whole doctrine. They put a new préfet, a new police department chief. Just to know that until the Yellow Vest movement, until this guy came to this prefecture, the previous one, he didn't want to use rubber bullet in Paris. He was against. He said the police should make law enforcement without using this gun. So he changed this. He decided to use it like in a huge scale. And they began to use drones. They've created new teams that they called anti-casseurs against rioters, like breakers, new teams. And they gave more autonomy on the cops on the ground. And I mean, they changed a lot of things that made this police just much more aggressive. And this is what we got since then in this period. So they sent these cops with dogs. They sent these tanks to the street. They send this I don't know what teams with ski glasses, with fascist pullovers. We had like they look also like this, and they look like this, and they're also on horses, and there are motorcycles. So this is interesting. These motorcycles, they were not used since 86. I forgot it in my presentation. When 86, These cops on motorcycles that were implemented after May 68, they killed one guy who was coming back from a concert next to a protest, and when he was going home, he was chased by them and he was beaten to death. So it was a huge scandal. They were an investigation, and they decided to disband these motorcycles. And from 86 to 2019, we didn't have riot control with motorcycles, and they decided to implement them again. And they are now from the worst. They are really from the worst because they are voluntary. It means they come from other units, and they come because on a voluntary base, it means they decide to go in this team because they want action. So you have them, and here you can see that they were shooting with these guns from the motorcycles. So you had a huge amount of mutilation in this year. We had 30 people who lost an eye, and it was almost the same amount as in 20 years. 1 year, same amount of injured people as in 20 years before. They just removed the eyes of many people, and 5 people lost their hand also because of these grenades. This one here, that is also with TNT. You can see this guy making like I make photos for to speak to fight against to speak about this fight. And we began also to gather money, because with such an amount of people injured, you had a lot of people in the Yellow Vest movement who were not benefiting from political solidarity, they were not in trade unions, they were not in collectives, they were not in nothing, and some of them, they had really a shitty economical situation, so we decided to make this gathering, but in 4 years, we gathered only 22,000, which is quite very few money. And we began to make money. Then we arrived to the confinement, to the curfew, during the COVID period. And this was very horrible, because everyone was at home, and the police were just totally very aggressive with the youth from the suburbs. Every time they saw one guy from the suburbs going out, while it was forbidden, even if they were going to work and they had the authorization, the paper that allowed them to go to work, there were a lot of cases where they were just beaten, and we got a lot of videos because, of course, everyone was home. So everyone, when this happened, every time there were someone in the window filming. So we got a lot of videos how the police were just beating people. So here you have some example of people who were just beating, and this person was shouting while they were just beating him up. This person, she lost her baby because they beat her down because she was going. You can see here, she's going to the market to buy things, and they didn't want to believe her. So there were just many horrible cases, and here and here. And this person, he was homeless, so he had no place to stay at home. And he was killed by the police because they arrested him. They didn't want, and he was ill. He was psychologically ill, and so he could not really react. I mean, he has a way to react that they considered as a threat, and so they killed him in this car in south of France. So this example where it was a huge increase of police brutality. 2020 is also the period when I made a movie. We decided to make a movie witnessing the testimonies of the victims. We made a CD also with more than 30 rappers against police brutality. You can download it, you can find it on YouTube. It's 30 minutes against police brutality. Of course, the Minister of Interior claimed, went to court against this. They went to court also against my movie. And we began also to work on counter-investigation. This is the moment when we decided that we need to bring a tool to the families. We need to implement a tool where the families can get involved in investigating their own cases. So we are trying a new way of making investigation using 3D investigation to modelize and to make truth. We are more now focusing on truth than on justice, because we consider that the families, they need mainly truth to achieve grief, to be able to make to grief, because we consider that truth is a key, like of resilience, of reparation, of many interesting processes, while justice is just a key to punition. If you await for justice to have a punition for the cop, you are never satisfied, and also it's not really, I mean, philosophically there is a lot of question around this. So we decided to work more on helping the families to get truth, but we stopped after 1 year because we could not get money to make it work. And we arrived really to the end. Macron was re-elected in 2022. As you see, in the first year of his last mandate, they already killed 52 people. So we jumped from 32 to 52 people killed in 1 year. And his Minister of Interior, he's totally free. They invented this new concept of separatism. So we were the green jihadists, we were cancer, and the youth in the suburbs, they were thugs. And they invented this new category of people called Islamo-leftists. And then they implemented a new law against what they call separatism. So actually, it's basically every person who is against or just criticizing the republic and the democratic system, who is just criticizing the state or criticizing the parliamentary, the representative system. So this is how they consider that all these people, it's a new category of people that you can just repress altogether. Since the state of emergency, this mentality is really common. It's like you have this interior enemy that you can just crush, and you can even consider that they are all the same. If we are protesting for Palestine, it means we support Islamists, and if we are, so we are Islamo or something. I mean, it's weird. And of course, the speeches against Muslims are very horrible tense in this last period since 2020. Like, they got free. We had a new candidate in the elections called Zemmour, who is like just the incarnation of neo-fascism. And all this period, we just saw how the politicians, the philosophers, the journalists, many people coming to TV in the public sphere, they're just saying horrible, racist shit. And it's fine. It's going through. And one of their concepts in the state is that all these people, they are somehow separatists. They want to separate the society from the republic. So this person, who is Minister of Interior since then, he began to dissolve groups. So the first one was a group to defend the rights of Muslims. The second one is an association bringing food to poor people in the suburbs. The third and the fourth one, they are collective for Palestine. The next one is anarchist media. Génération Identitaire is a fascist group. The Bloc Lorrain is what remained from the Yellow Vest movement. It's a radical group of Yellow Vests. Le GAL is an anti-fascist group. L'Action Française is a fascist group. Les Soulèvements de la Terre is this the ecologist fight. And the last one, and this is the most funny, he decided to dissolve a group of cops who are a bit too fascist. And this is very funny because actually this France Police is very active, and this France Police, it's the same group that was organizing this protest in 2016 to get new means. So all these groups, I mean, they were not all dissolved because he's trying all the time, and actually it's not going through court. Mainly these political groups, they were not dissolved, but the group for the right of Muslims were dissolved. This association the Solidarity Association were dissolved also, and the fascist group were, the one fascist group was dissolved. The other, it's still going on, or it failed. And now the last movement, we had a huge struggle in the beginning of this year against pension reform. And you remember these teams on the motorcycles? Now they are coming on motorcycles, they are going without motorcycles, but they are all wearing these helmets because they move with the motorcycle. They go from one place to another, sometimes they attack with the motorcycle, sometimes they just put the motorcycle and they run into the crowd, and they made a lot of injuries in this period, so much that the people, they began to make protests and public statements and petitions to make this, to dissolve also this, so they ask now to dissolve this this team. And also in this beginning of the year, we had a huge battle against, it's like called it the War for Water, and we had a huge gathering. Mainly, you can see the crowd. It was a huge crowd. We were almost 25 to 30,000 people struggling against this. You see this huge water supply. It's a huge struggle now in France. And this day on 25 of March, all these people gathered, and it was just basically a massacre. It was the massacre because they brought this. You see, they have not only motorcycles, they have also quads, because if they are not in the city, they use other means. And they were just attacking the crowd, like throwing gas grenades. And this grenade on the top is also a grenade that is really injuring a lot of people. It's blow off hands also. It's very dangerous. And they send like hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. Also, of course, there were some police cars that were burned also. So it was a very tense confrontation. But they succeeded because there were 7,000. I mean, it's huge. And they use also a new mean that is very new now. They use this gun that is marking the people. So it's a kind of product that they shoot on you. They can recognize you. It's, ADN de synthèse, synthetic DNA that is used to... So they shoot on people who should not be there. And afterwards, if they arrest them on the control, they can check their clothes and they can recognize you if you were there and they can prosecute you. So we had two people who went to custody because of this, but we still don't know exactly if this will work. But it's something they are testing now, and the gendarmerie is testing these guns. They were using it there. So we made a work to join all this care team because we really need people to be aware about the risk. So we implemented what we call a bazarrière, I don't know how to translate this, where gathered like medical team, psychological team, legal team. There were a team to care about children during the protest. There were riot fight sexism groups that was also implemented to fight sexist violence during the gathering. And there were a devalidist and validist, I don't know how is it in English, but to fight against discrimination and validism. No, I think it's the same in English. And also we joined this to make leaflets to prevent people about the different weapons, explain what can happen and how to protect yourself. So this is the end, because the last big event were before the summer, and you probably heard about this. Nahel was killed by a cop. You can see the picture on the top, where he was just killed like directly like this with a gun. And there were huge protests and riots all over France in the days after. And this was just, they decided to free the police, really. It was horrible. It was horrible in all the cities. They sent also this anti-gang, you remember, this team that were implemented specifically for anti-terrorism and high criminality. They decided that they can be used in riot control. So now it's the new thing of this year. This government decided that you can just arrest people with shotguns and young people, like very young people, and they send this, you don't see on the picture, but they send in all the cities where they considered that there is a threat, they send these teams with the tanks, with these anti-terrorist tanks, and they used the weapons we never saw before, and we gathered everywhere, like these bean bags, they are bags full of metallic balls. You have the American smoke grenade, like a gas grenade. I don't know why they use these grenades. And they use also this stun grenade. I mean, it's a whole arsenal that were never used against protests. And the specific team that were never used against protests, they send them everywhere. Not in the suburbs only, but also in the city centers. And they just repressed everyone in a very horrible way. And we had a lot of pictures where they just shoot on people like they are rabbits. I'm sorry, like they are, they shoot on them like really in a hard way. And also they killed a person in Marseille. They killed a person in Marseille with a rubber bullet gun. I mean, he was trying to escape them. He was on the ground and they shoot on him in the torso, in the chest, and he died from it. And you had also many people who lost eyes. And here in the corner you have the reaction. After this riots, you had the reaction of this police union, and they wrote in their official communique, this union is representing 80% of the COPs. We know that 80% of the COPs in France, they vote for the far right. It's proven, there's statistics. And these two trade these two unions, they are representing 80% of the police forces, and they are communicating very in a very tense way. And especially they call the people going out after the death of Nahel, they call them hordes of savages. And they say that now the police is at war, and they will react with the crowd as if they would be at war. I mean, they declared the war somehow. In this communique you saw before, this one on the corner. So yeah, this is what we are confronted with. It's really a state within the state. And now I will finish on this, because you see all this historical militarization, also militarization of the minds also, and we got used to this very huge amount of violence, and we are confronted to these unions who are very strong, and when they want a new law, they get a new law. When they want carry the guns out of the work, out of duty, they got this right, so they can go to the street with their guns when they don't work. They wanted to travel for free, even if they were not working, and you know what? They got it. It means they go to the train driver and they show their gun. And if they show their gun and their police card, they can travel for free. So this is, they got it also. They say, c'est fait. And also they made a huge union of all the cops, and they made this union inside the trade union in the Bourse du Travail, how you call this place that is traditionally, historically, for the worker trade unions. Like it's belonging somehow to the CGT, which is the main trade union. And they organized this big alliance of cops inside this very symbolic building. And the Minister of Interior, he came to make a speech also in this place to congratulate them that they made this alliance. And here you have some example. We were confronting them in protest. We were putting pictures of the injured people. And this is some of the example how they reacted. They were mocking the injured people, making fun that they lost eyes. So they were showing, putting the hands like this in front. You have this guy making a Nazi sign. I mean, these people, they are really dangerous. And they are really the fascists. This, I don't know if I will annoy you now with this. I think it's very complicated. It was just to explain you how the state is working, how the impunity is guaranteed to the cops. You have some very main roles. He is representing the police. He is representing the justice. The préfet and the procureur, prosecutor and chief of police department, they are this key role that are like guaranteeing the impunity and the continuation of this system, of this impunity, of this violence, and they are really representing the state, and they have like key role and key power that it's quite impossible to contest their power and to go away from it. And also in the system of impunity, you have many actors, and mainly we try to name them because it's very important to understand that it's not just cops, it's not just judges, it's not just ministers and politicians, it's the unions, as I said, they are very, very strong in France. The media, who are always criminalizing the victims, always inviting the cops to say what they want, and they're also giving, when someone is killed, they are the first to explain that, to give the police version and not to contest it. Then you have the police of the police, the investigators. Yeah, I will finish them. These investigators, it's cops investigating cops. So this is also something that is specific. And the expert and many actors, they are just guaranteeing impunity to the cops. This I remove it. So I finished. It's easier because here, as you see, there is many sentences. This is all our negative, all what we, through our experience, our struggles, usually I share all this, it's very negative, it's everything that is not working, all the doubts we have about our struggle, our fight, and all the things we discovered with this fight, we put a different, I can keep it like this, while if you want we can talk. Yeah, and this is, and I like this picture because it's a very nice slogan. It's cops out of the solar system. Like, this is actually our main revendication now. It's like, voilà. Yeah.
Thank you for your presentation. If there are any questions left, we would start with the FAQ. No, not FAQ, Q&A.
If you want to sleep, it's fine. Here, I think this.
Hi, thank you for your talk. I think you made it very clear that it's very hard to change things in France. Do you think change could come from the EU, like the European Court of Law?
So in fact, all the victims, because they get nothing through the court in France, they finish their process in the European Court. And since years, 15 years mainly, like since the European Court is giving decision on this matter, they always condemn France. So on most of the cases, the European Court is recognizing that the French government and the French police is not respecting the rights of people, is not respecting dignity, is even guilty of torture and mistreatment. We have always positive decision from the European courts, just the French government is just not caring at all about this. And now the UN is also, like the Human Rights Commission of the UN is also saying the same, and the French government is just going on the same way. Thank you.
Is it? Yeah. I was wondering what's the impact on the society? Are people stop demonstrating because they're afraid, or what are your experience with that?
I judge only from what I see in the activist scene, for example, and then I speak about the rest of the society, even if I cannot really tell, but I mean, in the activist scene is quite, yeah, it's depressing because it's very hard to imagine what we can really do. And we all fear the next elections also because we cannot, I mean, it's something like in France, it's like historically, this country is right-wing country and we cannot expect to have any left force, left party. And even if, I mean, as an anarchist, I don't expect nothing because the main left party, for example, is saying from the beginning and during the election, the last election, they said, we will never disarm the cops because we need them. So this is, we cannot expect nothing from the left parties somehow. And the society itself, sadly, I'm not psychologist, I'm not sociologist. I don't understand, the society is going even more and more to the far right. Every election is showing that the people, even after the Yellow Vest movement, were a big part of the people who were not activists, who were not related to left parties, were involved in the huge fight, and they got repressed in a way that is just huge. After this movement, there were a huge vote for the far right. So they find in this far right, anti-parliamentary far right, they find an answer. Because, I would say most of the people, they don't believe in the left somehow. I mean, it's my own analysis, and I would happy if French people they are more optimistic. But yeah, so mainly the people that are a bit afraid. I have some personally in our collective also how it is. We jump from big. We are scared at some moment. We are very paranoid. For example, after this Sainte-Soline, huge struggle, we were afraid. I was again like taking a lot of measures because I thought the cops will come at home because they are dissolving all the groups. So why they would not dissolve our group and come to put us in custody? So we're a bit scared, but sometimes we think, yeah, actually it was not worse than 68.
Hey, thanks for your presentation. I was wondering how this dissolvement of groups actually works. Like, for example, the Solomon de la Terre, what actually happens when they dissolve one group like this?
Also, it's an administrative decision. It's like the Minister of Interior is building a file where they gather some proofs, for example, that these groups are calling for hate speeches or are committing or are promoting crime, or so they gather some facts or some communication acts that shows that for them that these groups are dangerous and that they are destabilizing the peace. And they go to the administrative court with this case. And why it's not working? It's because mainly they base their argumentation on publication, and most of the publication, even by groups that are not media, are protected by the right of the press. So in the main cases, they're just the administrative court is saying it's not going to work because you cannot dissolve a group for this reason. And just one, this group protecting, like defending the right of Muslims, they got the dissolution in the frame of apology of terrorism and this kind of shit, like considering that defending a mosque in which the imam is having a hate speech or having a radical speech, this is a way to promote radical Islamism. So this is enough to dissolve a group that is defending the right of an organization like this.
Yeah, sorry, maybe my question wasn't that clear. I was wondering, like, what happens on the personal level? Like, do they have a list of names and then they go and arrest all these people? Or, like, what is the effect of this dissolving?
No, mainly they don't target people because it's administrative, so it's only against the organization. But yeah, they work with the intelligence service who are like identifying people, and they also go to they can go to summon them for interrogation, interviews, and they can get information about the organization through these people that they identified through the intelligence service. All this administrative case is based on the what we call the white notes. White notes are the notes of the intelligence services who are writing all the time about us, about each activist, each group. And they work like this, but they are not, they cannot through this, they cannot prosecute people. They cannot send people to criminal court. They can just dissolve. They can just, and it's very weird because this Soulèvement de la Terre, it's not a group. It's a network of groups. It's a network of hundreds of people. So actually they didn't win. They lost this case also. Even if they were explaining that they were responsible for this huge fight and burning cars of police cars and so on, they could not get this dissolution. I don't know if I answered. Maybe not. Ah, okay.
Okay, hello.
And in front is...
Hello. Okay, easy. I wanted to ask if there's a difference between police and gendarmerie in general, or if it's the same thing.
So it was very different until the socialist government, because it was the gendarmerie was under the responsibility of the defense minister, and the police under the Minister of Interior. And this change from this period, now the both forces are under the command of the police department, of the Minister of Police. But they have still a military status. So they can also be sent abroad on wars to make law enforcement in some areas at war abroad, out of France. But mainly these riot teams work only in France. And now they are, I don't know, it's like it's just a fight inside this the different forces. They don't want to be fused, but actually they are doing the same and they are all the time together now. So they have no really so much difference anymore. They have just not the same legal framework.
Thank you. We would like to stop this Q&A because we don't have time left anymore.
Yeah, I'm fine if everyone's fine. I'm sorry that it was very long. It's like very hard to make it short. Thank you for listening.